Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to the Impeach Now show brought to you by Blog Talk Radio. And if I didn't get a chance a couple weeks ago to wish everyone on the call tonight a Merry Christmas, I'm going to take that opportunity to do that now. And wishing you all a Happy New Year if I don't get to do that before our show ends tonight. Your host for tonight's show will be me, Karen Bracken, from the Constitutional Accountability Coalition, and J.B. Williams from the North American Law Center. And J.B. has not jumped on yet, so we're going to try and keep an eye out for him. We have a lot to cover in the first hour, and then we're going to open up the phone lines to our callers for questions. So if you wish to be placed in the phone queue, press the number 1 on your phone, and we'll get to as many callers as we possibly can. I'm also going to let you know that we will be moving from Blog Talk Radio to a real radio station sometime in January. We really don't know the exact date yet, but we will be sure to share all those details with you. Our radio show will not only be heard over the Internet, but we will be heard over actual radio once that starts. So, again, there's more to come on this. But before we start our program, I would like to ask Colonel Jim Harding to, again, lead us in a brief prayer.
Good evening. As John F. Kennedy said in 1963, we in this country and this generation are by destiny, rather than choice, the watchmen on the walls of world freedom. We ask, therefore, that we may be worthy of our power and responsibility, that we may exercise our strength with wisdom and restraint, and that we may achieve our time and for all time the ancient vision of peace on earth, goodwill toward men, as we know this Christmas season. This must always be our goal, for it was written long ago, except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Psalm 127:1. We know that unless we can take care of our country, how much watching we do is immaterial. So let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, help us to watch over our wall, our country, and keep it not only for this moment, but for the generations to come, especially for the generations to come. Let freedom ring in our hearts forever and ever, a blessing to people everywhere. We are the great keepers of the world. We know that, Lord, and you've made us that way. We thank you so much for giving us this responsibility. But now, Lord, we ask that you also help us to regain the covenant with your kingdom that our founders gave us. Help us to find ways to stop the evil that has invaded our country, the evil that has invaded our government, the evil that is around us everywhere. We know Satan is constantly fighting with you to try to take our minds and our hearts and our souls. Give us this evening, Lord, the strength that we need to find the way that you would give us to help to fight this evil that is pervasive in our world today. Help us, Lord, to find the people who are willing to step forward the decision that they're going to make this country great again. Find the people who follow their souls, their minds, and the teachings that you have given us, rather than the almighty power, the dollar. And Lord, help us this evening to make those decisions wisely. We know that it means an awful lot, that we can influence people to think more about their country than themselves. We have to do this or we're going to lose our country. And finally, Lord, we ask you to constantly watch over and protect and guide and help those who protect us, our military, our firefighters, our policemen, and all those in power. And finally, we ask that you bless those who are in power, whether it be in the Congress, the Senate, or the presidency, or the courts, that they will see the true light and come back to what you've asked for us. Amen.
Amen. And thank you very much, Colonel Harding. And I also want to ask everyone to keep our fellow patriots from the state of Texas in your prayers. They've experienced some really horrendous tornado activity. I believe the last time I listened to the report, there were already 11 people dead from these tornadoes. So I hope you'll keep them in your prayers. You can learn more about our impeachment efforts on our website, and I'm going to give you the information for the Constitutional Accountability Coalition. The website is CAC, that's Charles Apple Charles, TN, Tom Nancy, dot Weebly, W-E-E-B as in boy, L-Y, dot com. So that's CACTN. Weebly.com. And for the North American Law Center, it is NorthAmericanLawCenter.org. And our email addresses are cactennessee@gmail.com or info@NorthAmericanLawCenter.org. And I put this information early on in the call or in the show, so that in case you don't have a pencil to write it down, all you have to do is listen to the archive. The information is, you know, right up front early in the show. You don't have to go through the whole show to find it. This show is being recorded, and it will be available on blogtalkradio.com /impeachnow or on our website, cactn.weebly.com, on the events page. We wanted to bring your attention tonight to three articles that came out in the last week that we feel are important for you to know about. You may have already heard about them, but just in case, we wanted to make sure that you were aware of these three articles. And the articles can be found in their entirety, again, on our website under the events page. The first article was from Red State Watcher. And I'm going to take just a second here and see if, nope, JB has not jumped on yet. I did get a text message from him that he's tied up and is going to be a little late, but I'm going to have to try and keep an eye on the board to see if he calls in. But anyhow, Red State Watcher put up a poll several days ago, and the question was, if Trump calls for the impeachment of Obama, would you support him? And as of last night at 10 o'clock, there were 18,735 yes votes for an 89% of the total. And there were 2,256 no votes for 11% of the total. So people might want to send this information to Representative Louie Gohmert, who keeps insisting that the people do not want this president impeached, and that's the reason why he hasn't acted, and that's why Congress hasn't acted, because he doesn't feel that enough American people really want impeachment. Hold on a minute, and I think we might have JB here. Hold on just a second. JB, is that you?
It is, darling. How are you this evening?
I'm good. How are you? Thanks for joining us.
Well, sorry I'm late.
That's okay. That's okay. We just went over the Red State Watcher poll, and the other article was an article about Franklin Graham leaving the Republican Party, and the article basically alluded to the fact that he took this action mostly because of the passage of Omnibus and the continued funding of Planned Parenthood. Of course, he said that's not the only reason, but I believe that was probably the kind of the straw that broke the camel's back. And the third article is called All Republicans Are Blocking the Impeachment of Obama. And this article was written by our very own J.B. Williams. So I'm going to ask him to just give us a brief explanation of what he wrote in this article.
Well, the article has traveled far and wide, I have to say, and I think it's in part, you know, people pay attention a lot of times to a headline, and I'll get reader mail sometimes from people who are reacting to a headline, and I can tell by their reaction that they didn't read the article. But this time, it seems that the article is catching people's attention by the headline, and they are actually reading. And for the first time, probably in years, I think we're getting an appropriate public reaction to what's in this column. And what's in this column is factual. What it essentially talks about, and is published in many places on the internet. I'll stick a link to one of them in the chat room for people to go to if they want to read the whole thing, which of course I recommend because the writer's brilliant. And it is on
our website too. I posted it on the website as well. So, and yes, it is absolutely brilliant.
But in any event, the what it essentially talks about is it lays out the fact that there are 247 Republicans in the House. It takes only 218 of them to impeach this guy. That there are 23 Republicans on the House Judiciary Committee, and it only takes 20 of them to look at articles of impeachment and pass them to the full House for impeachment. And it only takes one Republican out of 247 to initiate that process in the House Judiciary Committee. And as of tonight's show, we have not found 218 who would impeach Republicans. We're not talking Democrats here. We're not talking independents. We're talking Republicans. We've not yet found 218 in the House out of 247 who would impeach. We have not found 20 in the House Judiciary Committee, which has oversight of our entire judicial system under its command and control. We've not found 20 out of 23 Republicans who would pass articles to the full House yet. We haven't even found one out of 247 Republicans in the House who will initiate that process, even though dozens of them have publicly stated on the record to multiple media sources that they believe this administration is guilty of numerous crimes, numerous violations of oath, and even some of that rising to the level of treason. As a matter of fact, we have Tulsi Gabbard, the Hawaii rep, who is also the vice chair of the Democratic National Committee, on open air on HBO with Bill Maher, one of the most well-known leftist commentators on cable networks today, agreeing, the two of them, that this president is guilty of treason by way of aiding and abetting ISIS and other known terrorist organizations and importing jihadists to the United States while arming them and training them and supporting them and funding them abroad. Now, when you have even the vice chair of the Democrat Party saying that on open air, which we have on film, this is not stuff we're making up, and we have dozens of House Republicans who have for 7 years now stated openly on the record that this guy is guilty of impeachable offenses, that his administration is as corrupt as Al Capone's organization was, or and worse, and that they're guilty of numerous crimes, and yet nobody, despite 5 months now effort by people in CAC groups across 29 states and the U.S. Patriots Union across 50 states and Veteran Defenders of America across 50 states and North American Law Center supported in 50 states and countless Tea Party groups who have done countless petitions with over a total of 6 million signers calling for petition, in addition to the one you just mentioned a moment ago pertaining to the Pulitz out there asking if people would support Trump if he would support impeachment. Overwhelmingly, yes, 90%, give or take. Despite all of that, we still haven't found one House Republican willing to carry the ball on this, and that's why I put out the column, which is appropriately titled, All House Republicans, Not Some, every last one of them is engaged in blocking impeachment of this administration, which most of them have admitted on open air is absolutely the most impeachable administration in U.S. history. And we all know is probably the most damaging administration in U.S. history. So despite all of those facts, And the fact that they would like to blame, like Louis Gohmert has a number of times on open air now, has gone on open air and said, well, the reason we haven't impeached is because the American people haven't been screaming loud enough in large enough numbers to make us do our job and keep our oath. So in other words, if the American people aren't going to put a gun to their head to make them keep their oath, they're not going to keep it. That's what he's saying. Louis Gohmert, a few months ago, said he would introduce, and then he backpedaled and now says he never said that. Scott Desjarlais of Tennessee told us in a conference call where five of us were present as witnesses to the conversation that he would support and work with Louis Gohmert to introduce it. Now he says that conversation never happened. And so what we have here is 247 complicit cowards who have done nothing in 7 years to even slow down the destruction of this country under this administration, much less hold it accountable. And as of tonight, that's what we still have, is 247 House Republicans, who not one of which yet has taken the first step to holding anyone in the Obama administration accountable for anything, even though almost every last one of them would admit that they are guilty of multiple crimes, including treason. So here we are.
I think to me that's very indicative of the fact that the Democrats and the Republicans are, you know, two heads of the same snake. And, you know, that's what it says to me. What we're going to do is, and again, these articles are posted on the CACTN .weebly.com website on the events page. So if you want to read them, take a look at that poll. If you haven't taken the poll, do so, because then it'll give you the most recent numbers. And what I'm going to do is we're going to do a really quick recap of 2015, and then we're going to get into what we're looking to do in 2016. And JB has some, I think, very encouraging news to share with us. And we're also going to be talking about misprision of treason. And then at the last 30 minutes, we'll take calls from the audience. So if you do want to ask a question or make a comment, don't forget to press the number 1 on your phone, and it'll put you in the queue. I'm juggling a whole bunch of hats here tonight. So I'm trying to also keep track of the chat room. And there was just one statement in here. One of the guests was asking if we had contacted Sean Hannity and Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh. We've contacted all of them on numerous occasions. As I shared with you all at one point, I had actually gotten through to the Mark Levin show 3 times. And every time after they asked me why I was calling, they put me on hold, they cut me off 3 times in a row. So it is very obvious that all of these talk show hosts that talk all big and tough about this president, they don't want to approach this issue either. So anyhow, just a recap of 2015. We kicked off our impeachment effort on June 29th. Of 2015, that was 6 months ago, with one state in the coalition, and that state was Tennessee. And we partnered with the North American Law Center in our efforts. It was really because of them that the CAC was born. And we quickly grew to 29 states, but we remained kind of stagnant at 29 states. We have mailed articles to the Republican members of Congress. We have called them. We have set up face-to-face meetings with them. We've had promises from several members of Congress to serve the articles. We've conducted numerous radio shows over the past 6 months. And we've also invited many legislators to be on our show as guests, but to date, not one has accepted our invitation. We've contacted members of the Judiciary Committee, again, all to no avail at this point. And I know our members have done many other things to promote this effort, and for that, we are very appreciative. I know many people have worked very, very hard, have spent their money, to support our efforts. And like I said, we do appreciate it. We've given it our best shot. We are not done yet. And remember, there is no statute of limitations on treason. And like I said to JB earlier today when we were talking, you know, don't get discouraged. We're not going to give up. And just think of all the battles that George Washington lost before his big victory. So, you know, we're not done. And as they say, it's not over till the fat lady sings, and she hasn't sung yet. In 2016, we're looking at two efforts that we're going to be promoting. One of them is a resolution for the National RNC. And the other, like I said, is Misprision of Treason. And we're going to talk about both of those efforts. I'm going to ask JB to briefly cover the resolution, kind of tell us what it is, how it came about. The resolution and the names of your state National RNC members is posted on the website under the GOP resolution page. And we're going to need you and everyone you know to place a call to these people. Each state has 3 to 4 National RNC members, and we've got all the information for you posted on the website. We're going to be asking you to call these 3 to 4 people and ask them to support this resolution that is going to be presented at the next meeting on January 13th for the impeachment of President Obama. So I wanted to get that out. That information, like I said, is all on the website, and there's a special tab for GOP resolution. Everything is right there. So, JB, you want to explain to the audience what this new resolution is, how it came about, and where we are in the process?
I sure will. First, we started with the county resolution. That happened when we were out doing speaking engagements in different parts of the country on impeachment, and someone who was a chairman of the Republican Party at the county level said, you know what, why don't we do a resolution at the county level, notifying the representative for this district that we are calling upon them and expect them to uphold their oath and the U.S. Constitution and impeach this guy. And I said, great idea. And they asked if we would help draft it. We did at North American Law Center. We got it back to them. They took a quick run at it. It was kind of a helter-skelter effort. And it didn't go anywhere that time around, but we loved the idea at North American Law Center, so we brought it to Tennessee, and Colonel Jim Harding was the first actually to pass it in his county. It's been passed in a few counties in Tennessee since then. And then after my last round of speaking engagements up in Michigan, we amended it to a district level, and I know the 7th district in Michigan is working on passing it at their meeting at the next district meeting for the Republican Party in Michigan for 7th district. So anyone in the 7th district, engage in that and support that. That's being led by Jimmy Minnick in the 7th district up there, so get in contact with him. And then I know there's other districts in Michigan that are working on it also. And through all those processes, I met a gentleman by the name of Dave Ajima, who's also from Michigan. And Dave is a former fighter pilot and a former commercial airline pilot. He's also a Michigan committeeman to the National Committee, and one of three. And each state has three. It's the chairman of the state party, along with two chairpersons, male or female, depends on which state, who's sitting in those chairs at any given time.
Some have four.
Some may have four.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so you just have to look at each state, and as Karen mentioned, she posted a link where you can do that on the CAC website. I'll put the link in the chat room also if people want to look there for it. And you can get an idea of what we're talking about. Just click on your state at this link, and you'll see what we're talking about. And so Dave Ajima from Michigan decided a while back, a couple weeks back, he was going to propose a national resolution calling for impeachment from the Republican Party members at the RNC level. And so he introduced that idea a few weeks back in the Resolutions Committee, which is also the conservative steering committee of the Republican Party, the best place to try something like this. And he got a somewhat lukewarm response and a lot of questions. And so he came back to North American Law Center, and we answered those questions for him. And then we amended the resolution once again for a national resolution for the RNC. And so he just today sent that out to all the RNC members, the amended resolution, along with the supporting legal documents behind the resolution calling for impeachment. And on the 13th of January, he will speak on behalf of that resolution at the next RNC national meeting. And so we have worked with Dave Ajima, and I want to thank Dave for stepping forward and for being willing to lead such an unpopular charge in such an unpopular place, the Republican National Committee these days. And so I want to thank him for stepping up to do that. But, you know, guess what? I mean, he's a former fighter pilot. Well, I'm not the least shocked that he's willing to carry the ball on something as important as this, and without any regard to whether that's popular or not. And God bless him for doing that. And so we will give him all the support he needs and all that we can muster. And the call to action tonight actually pertains to that very effort. The reason that Karen has posted GOP.com leaders at the national committee level is so that each person listening in tonight and your friends and members of Patriot Union and VDA and supporters of North American Law Center and CAC, we can all work together across the country to contact our own members of the National Committee between now and January 13th, repeatedly if necessary, in order to push them to support the resolution that is being proposed by Dave Ajima of Michigan. And so I just got a message from Karen, by the way, that she's having some technical difficulties. So hopefully she'll be back with us shortly, and I'll try to carry on until then, although she has access to the control panel. So I'll just pretend like I know what I'm doing here for a little bit until hopefully she makes it back. But what we are doing is we are continuing. We started 5 months ago, 6 months ago, with just the Tennessee Constitutional Accountability Coalition. Karen and Dave Vance were the first to jump on board in Tennessee and begin to work across Tennessee and across the nation to build other coalition groups in each state, because most of these representatives in the House want to only hear from people in their own districts, certainly within their own states. So you have to be communicating with your own reps out there. It's okay to try to communicate with others outside the state, but they mostly try to filter down to their own constituencies. And so at the end of the day here, we are trying to ratchet up public pressure for exactly why, to deal with the fact that Louie Gohmert and others believe there is not enough public support for impeachment out there. They believe they're not acting to impeach because the people don't want them to. And apparently, unless the people show up on their doorstep by the millions with pitchforks and torches, they're going to think that the people don't support impeachment. So we're out here not to put a pitchfork and a torch in your hand just yet, but to get you on the phones calling first your representatives in the House, calling for them to get behind impeachment articles, preferably those that have been drafted and investigated by NALC or North American Law Center. But also starting tonight or starting tomorrow morning, look up your state national committee members and get on the phone with them and convince them by whatever means necessary to support Dave Ajima's resolution at the National Republican Committee level to impeach Barack Obama. And that's what the call to action is really about tonight. As you know, people who've been with us a while, our calls to action change as circumstances change. We try to keep just one call to action on the table at a time. We try to make it tactically and strategically critical at any given moment, and so they change as circumstances change. We believe that there is support for impeachment in the House. We believe that there's more support to block impeachment in the House, and that's what we're dealing with, both on the Republican side and certainly on the Democrat side of the aisle. But so far, no Democrats are in the way. They haven't had to step up and get in the way yet because all the Republicans are in the way. That must change, and it's up to us to make that change. Karen, I'm glad you're back.
Thank you. Yes, we're having bad storms here, and I lost my phone service for a few seconds. Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm really encouraged by this. I believe that, you know, if the RNC does support this, it's going to give our efforts the attention that we've been looking for and working so hard to get. It's going to put pressure on these Republicans to do something. And if the RNC does not support this resolution, then, you know, to me, that's going to look really bad for the Republican National Convention. And
well, this is the thing. I mean, this is what we talked about when we started this process 5 or 6 months ago. The fact is, and you brought up misprision of treason. We'll talk about that in a moment, because that is a legal consequence, criminal act, of what
right.
these people are doing, essentially. They're doing much worse than simply not doing their job. They're actually violating the law and their oaths by not doing their job. And so, you know, my personal position on this has been from day one, and I think we have a growing number of people who agree with that position across the country, is that if the Republicans refuse to hold criminal Democrats accountable, A, there's no purpose to electing Republicans, certainly no purpose to funding their campaigns, because they don't use the power we give them once we give it to them, and B, we have to hold them accountable for refusing to hold Democrats accountable. Otherwise, no one in federal government is accountable to anyone for anything.
Right, right. So get on the phone. You got all the information. It's three calls for some states. There are some states that have four members. What they have is a director, an executive, a committee woman, and a committee man. In Tennessee, we just have a committee woman, so we have three. But there are some states that have four. So, you know, we're just encouraging you to please make those phone calls, get as many people as you can to make those phone calls, and, you know, let them know that the people are out there, we're watching, we're paying attention, we know what's going on, and, you know, we're going to watch this very closely. We mentioned several times throughout the call misprision of treason. We've had Stephen Pidgeon and Barbara Kitte on the phone many times. They've talked about misprision of treason, and we're going to talk about it tonight as another possible call to action in the future. As I understand it, misprision of treason means the failure to report a crime. And you can also, there's also a thing called misprision of felony. In my opinion, every member of Congress is guilty of misprision of treason or misprision of felony. I think they're guilty of both. We start the process by serving a member or members of Congress with an affidavit, which would be a sworn statement of accusations. This affidavit would be sent with a cover letter to the congressperson. They have 30 days to respond to the affidavit, and if they fail to respond, it is considered an assumption of guilt. We're going to be exploring this option, and we will be in deeper discussion with Stephen Pidgeon when he returns from his vacation. And we don't want people going out, you know, right now and starting to serve their congressmen with affidavits. We're just going to cover some information about it today. JB and Stephen and Barbara will be putting their brains together and laying out a plan for us, and we'll definitely share that plan in the very near future. It appears there are some states that no longer recognize misprision of felony or misprision of treason. But there was a case recently right here in Tennessee. It was United States versus Richard Baumgarten, who was a state judge, and he was convicted of misprision of felony in 2014. So it's apparent that we do use it in the state of Tennessee, so that's encouraging. If we need a state, I guess Tennessee is better than none to start the process. But right now, like I said, our focus is going to be on this national resolution. And just, again, want to ask JB if you had anything to add to this misprision of treason, misprision of felony.
I do. Before I do that, I want to mention that there are people out there that are working to pass the county-level resolution, and they should continue to do that. There are people like Jim Minnick in the 7th District in Michigan who are working to pass the district-level resolution. They should continue to do that. But at the same time, they should make the phone calls to their national committee members and press them to support Dave Ajima's resolution at the national level. Obviously, if there's a national resolution, that will supersede the lower level resolutions. But in the absence of a national resolution, we will need that district resolution. I'll give you a good example with the 7th District, Virginia is. I can't remember the gentleman's name who is the rep for that district off the top of my head. I might remember it here in a second. But imagine being the rep for the 7th District and you're handed a resolution by your entire district with the reelection campaign coming up. And that resolution says that we want you to impeach. We're calling upon you to impeach. We're calling upon you to initiate and support impeachment. And if you do not, then you will not have our support for reelection in the upcoming election cycle. In fact, we will not raise funds. It's Tim Walberg. You're right, Yvette. Thank you. In the chat room. It's Tim Walberg. And imagine Tim, who is being challenged next year for his seat and should be because he's done nothing of any value in the time that he's been there so far. So he should be being challenged. But imagine being handed coming into that election cycle in 2016, which every House member is up for reelection unless they're not running for reelection in 2016. And imagine being handed that resolution from your entire district, and it says you're either going to impeach or you're gone. It is a motivating factor. It's no secret that the first priority of every person elected to Congress is to get reelected. And so you begin to hit these people on issues they care about. And in the places where it matters to them, their pocketbook at election time and in the voting booth, it matters to those people. And we tried telling people on impeachment back in 2014 at North American Law Center. We actually issued these articles in July of 2014, and we tried telling people then that we needed to get this pushed forward before the 2014 elections in November, because once the election's over, they think they can sit on their hands for another 2 years for the next election cycle and do nothing, and that's exactly what they do. And so here we are again coming up a year and a half, a year later, moving on to a year and a half later. It's coming into another two-year election cycle where once again we're going to tell you the same thing we told you in 2014. The only time these politicians care what you think is at election time. They care what you think when they're trying to raise money from you, and they care what you think when they're trying to make sure they can count on your vote. The other 2 years in between election cycles, they don't want to hear from you. So we tried telling people in 2014, and they all said, no, we have to wait until after we get control of the Senate in November, and then we can do it in January. Well, now we're coming up to January of a year later, and we still haven't done it. And now we're being told again, well, it's going to mess up an election cycle again, so we can't do it until the next election cycle. In other words, we can't ever do it. In other words, people are never really quite in the mood to hold anyone accountable for anything, and then they wonder why no one is accountable for anything. It's our fault. It's the people's fault that no one is accountable for anything. We don't hold anyone accountable for anything. What happens to our kids when we don't hold them accountable for anything? How do they turn out? Our politicians are no different. So I just want to make sure that people understand that we are – are in charge of the future here. It's up to us what happens next in this country, including on impeachment. It's up to us. And if we don't do it, there's no one really to blame but ourselves. You know, the notion that we could elect people and go back to sleep for 2 or 4 or 6 years was a lie from the start. It was a lie to the American people from the start. We don't elect these people to be kings and queens. We elect these people to represent the will of the people. And when they don't represent it, it's time for them to go. And that's what we're talking about here. And so we are now headed into another election cycle, and now is the perfect time to push it forward. And now we have the perfect opportunity with Dave Ageman willing to push it at the national level. But keep pushing at all levels at the same time, and keep pushing your members of the House at the same time. And then we'll talk about Miss Prison if you want.
Okay, well, I just want to just let them know that the district resolution that you're talking about is also posted under the GOP resolution page. At the top, you'll see all the instructions for the national, but then down below, you will see the resolution for the district. And if you want to look at that and you know, take the recommendation from JB on that issue as well, just so you know it's posted. So, yeah, I mean, I just gave a little bit of an outline on this treason of treason. You know, this is something that the citizens can kick off. It's something that we can start. It isn't something that we have to go to our congressmen to do for us. So, you know, as a last resort, you know, I have no problem implementing this, and we will if we have to. So, if JB, if you want to add anything to this.
Yeah, basically our position on through all of this has been the same, and that is anything worthwhile, anything good that happens in this country at this point is going to have to be kicked off by the people. If we don't kick it off, nobody's kicking it off. And so, you know, that's our message on all of it. But as I say, the specific calls to action change as circumstances change. And since we have someone like Dave Ageman who's willing to carry the ball to national level, then it's incumbent upon us to give them all the support that we can possibly muster for Dave Ageman. Since he's willing to carry the ball, let's please not let him carry the ball alone.
Right. Right. It's 3, at the very most, 4 phone calls. That's it. And, you know, it's just a very, very simple statement. We're not asking you to get into a dialogue. It's just, you know, a simple statement asking for their support for this resolution. And, again, the resolution is available on the website. There's also the link where you can click on your state, and it'll give you the list of your 3 or 4 members, your state members that sit on the national committee. So I guess you don't have anything else to say about misprision of treason. We do have some callers
in queue.
I do.
Well, I do want to talk about, you know, Steve Pidgeon and Barbara Gattay are our legal experts. That's not me. We have them because I'm not a legal expert. But I am a practical strategist expert, and so I want to talk about misprision of treason from both of those angles for a few minutes, and then we'll open up to callers. Let's talk about misprision of felony just so people understand. Misprision of felony is, I'll give you an example. You witnessed a murder, and you didn't report it to anyone. Later on in the investigation, it's found that you were present and you witnessed the events of that crime and never reported it to anyone. That in itself is a crime called misprision of a felony. It's being in the knowledge of and refusing to act upon that information in an appropriate manner by reporting it to proper authorities, law enforcement in that case. Now, misprision of treason can mean a lot of different things. It can be aiding and abetting treason, not being directly involved in the treason, but being indirectly involved in funding it or supporting it or promoting it, and so on and so forth. Or it can mean the same as misprision of a felony. It can mean being in the knowledge of, with a specific duty to act on that knowledge and not taking appropriate action under that oath. Well, in the case of any member of Congress, they have taken an oath. Their oath says they will, at all expense, all effort, protect and defend the Constitution of the United States and the people of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Well, if you have someone sitting in the White House committing acts of treason amongst other illegal activities, then you have an oath obligation to act upon that information. In this case, when we are talking about acts of treason by an executive branch, it is Congress who holds the legal authority to hold the executive branch accountable for those crimes, and the process for doing that is impeachment. So unlike a private citizen who witnesses a murder and has to report it to local law enforcement, if a member of Congress is aware of crimes, the person they have to report that to is themselves, because it is members of the House in particular initially that have the constitutional authority and duty to act upon that information. When they report it to themselves in the form of articles of impeachment reviewed by the Judiciary Committee, the Judiciary Committee looks at it and determines whether or not there's adequate evidence to go forward with articles of impeachment in the full House. And if the evidence supports the articles presented in the Judiciary, then they present the full House. The full House has an obligation to decide whether or not to impeach. Now, that's all very cut and dry. It's a very simple process. It really doesn't have to take any great length of time to do it, especially in this case, since most of the crimes, including treason, are printed in our headlines every day. There's only maybe 20-30% of the information that's alleged in our articles that is not a matter of public knowledge at this point. And so whether you're talking Benghazi or Extortion 17 or Fast and Furious or gun running across the Middle East, or aiding and abetting known enemies importing to the U.S. via refugee resettlement, or just letting our borders remain open and overrun by illegal aliens. I mean, every one of those is a crime. Every one of those is most of those that I just named amount to treason. Those are no secret, and every member of Congress is aware of it. And the fact that they are aware of it and refusing to act on the information under the oath to act means that they are subject to charges of misprision of treason. Now, that's about as far as I want to go tonight, because we want to press forward on our current call to action tonight. But by the time we have a next show, we probably are going to be discussing in detail how to charge House members with misprision of treason. And if they don't respond within a 30-day window after being served with the charges, it amounts to an admission of guilt. Now, there's some legal stuff that needs to be worked out, and we'll have Pigeon and Barbara Cate on that call in order to take everybody through the legal parts of all this. But from a strategic standpoint, the mere fact that we are aware and are willing to make every House member aware that we know what misprision of treason is, and we are willing to hold them accountable through those charges if they are not willing to hold Obama accountable for his crimes, at a very bare minimum, should be a strong motivating factor for members of the House, while at the same time handing them resolutions that say they're all done politically if they don't. So we're looking for every way possible, every legal means, every peaceful method to motivate people to do something they clearly do not want to do, and that is hold this administration accountable for anything.
That's right. Okay.
So,
well, thank you very
open
much.
The callers, if you
like.
I see Yvette's on. Go ahead and pull her on first before we open up to callers.
Yes.
Yvette, by the
way,
is someone I met in Michigan a few trips ago. I'm in love with Yvette because she is a fighter, just like you are, Karen, and just like Linda Garcia is and Barbara Cate. She's one of these people that, you know, she sinks her teeth into something and won't turn loose. She's a bulldog, and I love that about her.
Yvette, you are live on the air. This is Yvette from Michigan.
Hi. Well, thanks, JV. Yes, I am a bulldog.
A mighty pretty bulldog, let me say, just so I don't get in trouble
thank
for
you.
Saying bulldog, okay?
Boy, he's never said that about me. I'm insulted.
There was no way I was getting out of here without being in trouble with someone, okay?
Well, anyway, you want me to get on the line here, so what is it that you would like me to share at this point with everybody?
How about share with them how things are going in Michigan, because Michigan has turned out to be a hotbed of support for impeachment. Mm-hmm. I've been up there. I've spoken, I think, at 6 different stops now just in the last month and a half or so. And the response up there, you know, it's tough to get people to show up for this conversation, but the people who are showing up are responding very well to the conversation. I'd like you to address that.
It took a while to get people motivated. Of course, Linda Garcia, as you know and Karen knows, had worked very hard for many weeks calling a lot of the Republican county chairs, trying to get them motivated enough to do something with as far as sending impeachment packets. And when she had contacted me, I had, you know, listened to everything she was saying and decided to take the bull by the horns and call JB and talk to him more in depth, answering or asking questions that I had regarding impeachment and the time frame we had and how it all worked out. Then it took me some time to get my executive committee on board. My co-chair, John Lemmerman, of course, was ready right off the bat. And it was taking some time to get the rest of the people involved. Of course, we decided to bring JB into the county. I had then called a lot of the county chairs here in Michigan, to which I received the same response that Linda Garcia had. It was a waste of time, and we needed to focus on working very hard to get good people elected into position, which my stance is it will do us no good to work hard electing good people into position. We have been doing that for many years, and it has not done us any good because they always turn the other cheek when they get into position and go for the lobbyists and all the money that they get. So they abandon the people right from the get-go. We need to get rid of the cronyism in government, period. That's the only way that we're going to be able to turn this thing around. So we went ahead and had the event. I got a hold of a few county chairs that said they would come. They didn't show up except for one from Hillsdale County, Glenn Frobel. Very impressed with that guy. He is on board the same as the rest of us are and feels the same way we do about a lot of things. I got a co-chair from Emmett County, which is at the top of Michigan, to hold an event there the following day, and then she contacted Randy Bishop in Antrim County, which is a little further to the other towards Lake Michigan, and he had JB on the radio station, which was huge. But because of these three events that had taken place in November, and the people that I had attended from the lower part of Michigan and the top part are now engaged. The goal is to try to get the rest of the people in the middle involved in this, and I don't think we're going to be able to get the rest of the county chairs involved, but regardless, we've got a lot of people in Michigan that are on board and want to do something, and I feel that are on fire, working very hard to get other people on board through, you know, emails and conversation on the phone, Facebooking. We're talking about getting more town hall events organized so that we can start talking to these people, continuing to hit them with current information that has gone on now and how we can continue to keep them engaged and involved moving forward, which is going to be really important in continuing this whole process. I seriously do agree with everybody that we do need to get the congressional districts involved. I don't know if we'll be able to accomplish that. But I seriously think, even though you're suggesting giving phone calls, we need to let them know that we do mean business this time, because right now government has been running for so long that they seriously think we, the people, are not going to do anything. We're going to lay there and take it like we've always done.
You know,
so we really need to show them.
You know, I spoke with Dave Ajima this morning and a couple of days ago as well while we were working on the national resolution back and forth. And I asked him, I said, you know, at the national level, do these people have any clue on the RNC committee that there's a mass exodus underway of the Republican Party out here? Do they have any idea that there's no way for them to win elections in 2016 and beyond because the people are fed up with the do-nothing Republicans that have already been sitting there for 7 years doing nothing. And he said, no, they don't have any idea. And the reason they don't is they're outraising money of the Democrat Party right now, so they think they're in fine shape. And I said, well, where are they raising the money from? Because I know the voters are abandoning them. He said, you're right. The money's coming in from a handful of big donors. I said, the problem with that is the donors can't deliver the votes at election time. They can put money in their hands and in their pockets, but they can't deliver the votes.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
At election time. The people who have to vote are abandoning the party. I am a lifelong Republican, and I'm ready to abandon the party, which I've written many columns over the last 25 years saying that's the last thing you should ever do. But we are find ourselves in a position that the party no longer gives us anything to represent. You want to comment on that real quick?
Who?
Yvette.
Oh, yeah. They do not give us anything to represent. And as a matter of fact, when you, JB, had attended the event in Corona at the church there, to which I had told the people there that the Republican Party doesn't even represent the people anymore. They are now in the same category or under the same umbrella as the Democrats, only they have the Republican name. But what they have done that I have recognized this year, and our chair, Ronna Romney McDaniel, is the biggest advocate for this, when she campaigned and even now had stated that they are now the conservative grassroots Republicans, okay? They're moving in this manner, trying to convince the other Republican people, supporters, that they have changed the way that they are doing things now, and that they are for the people, and they want to join the people in moving forward because they want what the grassroots conservatives want, which is a total lie as to what they're really doing. They've just added that name to themselves. They're still moving in the same manner. They have abandoned the Republican Party platform that was adopted in 2012, and they're going along with now what the Democratic Party is moving. And like I told JB, the Democratic Party had put an ineligible person into position, and we won't get into this conversation, obviously, but I just want to make the statement that now the Republican Party feels they have to do the same thing the Democratic Party is doing by putting an ineligible person into office, which backs up my statement that the Republican Party is now the Democratic Party under the same,
different
name.
I just don't see any leadership at all in the Republican Party at this point. I see nothing but a bunch of do-nothing followers. Go along to get along people who don't want to raise their hand at the meeting. They don't want to put their foot down. They don't want to stand for anything, and they're falling for everything. And that's why I really appreciate people like Yvette and Dave Ajima and Linda and Karen and others who have been willing to stand up and do what's right, regardless of the fact that we all know we're going to take rotten tomatoes for standing up. We all know that.
Right.
But there's no way to stand up and do the right thing without taking the rotten tomatoes. There's just no way to do it. And yet there's also no way to turn this country around without doing it. And so God bless all of you for being willing to step up and do what you're doing out there. And I really mean that.
Well, and I just, if I can make one more statement before you guys close me off, because I know you got other callers that need to get on. They want to say what they want to say. But I just want to leave you all with, in my personal point of view, if we're not taking rotten tomatoes, then we're not doing our job. Because I know, for example, I am taking rotten tomatoes. You know, as I told JB before, I have been told and forewarned that because I'm doing what I'm doing, they'll make sure that I do not get to take the chair position at the next election, which is fine with me because that tells me that I am doing what we are supposed to be doing. So that enforces me, reinforces my actions that I have been partaking in so far. So, yes, it just gives me more energy to keep going. So if we're not taking rotten tomatoes, then you're not doing your job.
Well, you know what, Yvette? Give up that seat and run for office and then really give them a run for their money.
Yeah. We'll see. It all depends on where. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Yvette. We appreciate it. I'm going to put you back on hold, and I'm going to open up Let me put her back on hold here.
Yvette, go ahead and stay on the line, though, just in case there's questions for Michigan that you can answer, okay?
Okay.
All right. Well, I'll leave you open then. Okay. I'm going to open up caller 8253. Last four numbers are 8253.
Fran Austin here.
Hi. Who is this again?
Fran Austin in California.
Hi, Fran.
How are you?
Hi.
What can we do for you?
I called on December 7th and 8th, 2 days, approximately 200 members of Congress.
Wow.
I don't pay any mind to who's, you know, who's what state, because everything here is the three or four wicked witches of the West. So that's not a problem, although I did call them. I called mostly Republicans, a couple Democrats, and I included Jeff Sessions and others in Congress as well, Bob Goodlatte on the Judiciary Committee. What is interesting and the gleanings I have for you are this. You know me to be worthy. I am a woman, after all. I am not a bulldog, but I am a gadfly, and I can continue to be annoying for a long time. Most of the people who answer the phone seem to be young interns,
mm-hmm.
and you can hear by the spirit over the phone sort of what they're taking in and what they know. In all those phone calls, I only got two hang-ups, and that is a miracle in and of itself. These kids know, and they're only representing the Congress members, and they know that the Congress members know this too. My talk was basically on closing the borders and impeaching. But there is an additional to constitutional basis for impeachment, there is scriptural basis for impeachment, starting in Numbers 3, where God tells Moses, before he can get into Canaan, they have to get rid of the Canaanites, meaning the dogs, the children, every vestige of evil. The land needs to be cleared and cleansed, and that's the purpose of impeachment. Otherwise, as you so duly mentioned, it sets precedent, and we've already got that going. It's very important. I called at least three major TV ministries to give them all the information. In one particular case, there is a show that I call into regularly. And about 2 weeks ago on Friday, the woman who runs the show made an allusion to the fact that many have been threatened in Congress. She did not go any further than that. But those threats, as we know from the get-go regarding Mr. Obama, are beyond just blackmail and bribery. They become physical threats of murder, not just job loss, but damage and harm to families. And I think that's what we're dealing with. I did not get on to speak that day. Another pastor at that channel did use an allusion to Mr. Obama. In discussing Israel and God's plan for Israel and that it will not be annihilated for one reason or another, he mentioned the big H's, meaning Herod, Haman, Hitler. And he then said that among these demonic-led tyrants was Barack Obama. As an English major, I would have preferred that he used the alliterative Hussein Obama. Nonetheless, it finally was said. But none of the major ministries, and very few actual Christians that I'm aware of, will step forward and speak out. It's always, as you know and have always said, let George do it. You do it. You know, I'll tell you what's going on, but I won't speak out and I won't step forward. I need to tell you also of the fourth article that was written regarding impeachment. And this may be a saving grace. December 21st issue of the Enquirer, cover story, impeach Obama. He is responsible for San Bernardino and several stories inside regarding the necessity to impeach, including quotes by Pamela Geller, and I know you all know her, and she needs prayer and protection, and somebody named Debbie Schlussel, if I'm saying her name right, please forgive me if I'm wrong.
Schlussel,
but it's there. And my only prayer is this. Our rag mags tell more truth than the mainstream media. And I can only pray that this magazine will have as good an effect on Mr. Obama's career as it did on John Edwards when they reported on his affair while his wife was dying of cancer. Now, I realize this is much stronger in the heavenlies, powers, principalities, and all the minions down here who take care of keeping Mr. Obama where he is wrongfully. But we can only pray, and we must continue to pray and act, of course. And I thank you for what you are doing.
Thank you so much,
appreciate
Fran.
You, Fran.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to open up. Last four numbers are 3139.
Thanks, Karen. James from Ohio.
Hi,
can you hear me?
How are you?
Yes,
I can.
Go ahead.
I'm blessed. As goes the church, so goes the nation.
Absolutely.
A couple things. Number one, Yvette, I'm a networker by nature, and Karen has my contact information.
Mm-hmm.
She'll know who I am when I get done talking here. But if you want to contact me through her. I have several contacts in Michigan. I might be able to help you out, but at least we'll try.
Okay.
I'm in Ohio. I'm going to contact my congressman tomorrow. I'm going to start taking a little different tact. I've been telling people that they should do this and should do that. I'm going to start the conversation off, and yes, I am going to get an intern. But I'm going to start it somewhere. Do you believe that a president today should or can be impeached? If the answer to that is yes, then I'm going to ask them, do you think that the current president has done anything that is impeachable? Now, if he says no, I'm going to get a list of items and send that back to him. If they say yes, and they probably won't, but if they say yes, then I'm going to say, well, I need to talk to my representative, and we need to start this process. Also, I've contacted one presidential candidate's office, Mike Huckabee, and I've suggested to him that he consider out-trumping Trump. And he do that by asking for the impeachment of the President of the United States. Now, he just can't get up one day and say that. It's got to be done prayerfully. It's got to be done properly. But if it is done that way, I mean, Trump wrote on the back of immigrants, and Huckabee or any other presidential candidate, I guess the thing I'll ask everybody else here, I don't know who your favorite presidential candidate is, but do you know if they believe that the president has done impeachable offenses? And
well, none of them have said so yet, have they?
No. And I think it's fair game to ask them.
I do too.
It certainly helped. Certainly help me make a decision.
I think it's a great lit. You know, I'm in favor of being a litmus test myself. I've been saying that for years now.
Okay. Well, we don't know. I'm working on Huckabee, and I don't know why. I mean, God just pointed me in his direction. He's a Christian, so he should respond to this. And I will keep on top of him on that. And if anybody else, first of all, does anybody have any contacts with Mike Huckabee? Or does anybody have any contacts with any of the current presidential, and don't even talk to me about John Kasich, okay? I'm from Ohio. I know better. That's not happening.
Right.
By the way, he claims to be a Christian, too.
Right.
James and I have been in contact with each other. We both have written emails regarding this to Huckabee's staffer. I haven't received any response, James, I know I saw your letter today, so, you know, we'll hope that maybe your letter will get some kind of a response from him.
Well, I'm going to follow up, and I'd recommend anybody else, if they like Huckabee, for heaven's sakes, call them and say, have you given this any thought? And again, I'm going to stop telling people. I'm just going to stop
yeah,
doing
I'm
going to ask
comment for, Yeah, I'm going to comment for on that for just a second, if I may, James. First off, thanks for calling
done.
In.
I'm
thanks
done.
For what you're doing. But You bring up two good points. One, everybody who's running for president should have already taken a public stand on this administration. Anyone, especially any member of Congress who mm-hmm. is running for the White House and has not publicly stated that this is a criminal guilty of treasonous acts in the White House who should be impeached, they have no business running for the White House because they all right. know it's true. They all know it's true, and they're avoiding the subject like the plague and asking for your money, tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars in campaign donations and your votes for them to be president when they aren't even doing their job in Congress. And it doesn't matter whether they're in the House or in the Senate. If they're in Congress and they're running for the presidency without ever commenting on this as part of their campaign, they are frauds as far as I'm concerned. I'm happy to call them frauds on open air. If they think I'm wrong and want to sue me for libel for saying it, come right on ahead and do it, because I'll prove you're a fraud the minute you sue me. So go right on ahead. And so,
right.
you know, James is right about that, number one. And number two, he's right about something else tactically. It's best to ask questions of these people in the early part of the conversation and get them to admit one way or another that this is someone you can even have the conversation with before you start telling them what you expect them to do. That's a great tactic, James.
Right. And I'll tell you, in the very beginning when we first started this process, we have, I'm trying to find it right now because it's been so long since we used it. We had three little questions that we said we put together kind of like a helper because we were asking people to go in and have face-to-face meetings with their congressmen, and they were all like, well, I don't know what to say to my congressman. What do I say when I go in there? So we put together a little document about, you know, what to say when you're sitting face-to-face with your congressman. And in there are three little questions. So you might want to go, it's on, again, it's on the cactn.weebly.com website. It's under impeachment documents, and it's just a little helper on, you know, how to talk to your congressman, and it's got these little questions. But I think James' questions are also absolutely excellent. So there is information out there to approach your congressman from a vantage point of questions, not just going right into the, you know, the attack, but to kind of draw them into a corner by asking them strategic questions. So, okay. Thank
great,
you, James.
Great.
Thanks, Karen.
Okay. Bye-bye. All right, we're going to put James on hold. Okay, we have caller, last four numbers are 3008. That's 3008.
Hey, Karen,
hello.
It's Diane. How are you?
Oh, this is Diane Kepis. She is our Florida State CAC leader. So how are you doing?
A heck of a lot better. I'm really enjoying this conversation, and I'd appreciate when I get done saying what I have to say, if JB's got wants to jump in there, that he would do it, because I have a lot of respect for the articles he's written and things he says. First of all, I'd like to address Huckabee, and I know different people have different impressions. My impression of ex-Governor Huckabee came over the Common Core issue. As a minister and supposedly a man of God, he lied to the American people. He outright lied, stood in front of the camera on his TV show on a Sunday night and on a Saturday night, stating that he had lost faith in the Common Core standards, and turned around 2 months later and had lunch with the National Governors Association and that national organization of the school superintendents and commissioners of education, and told them that what they needed to do, because the name Common Core was so toxic, that they should not walk away from Common Core, but to rebrand it, rename it, which is exactly what almost every one of the 45 participating states did in a con effort to make parents believe that they were dropping Common Core as a whole. That,
right,
with other research I've done on Huckabee in the past, solidified it for me. Secondly, one of the things that has turned me so away from the Republican Party is, especially in the last 10, 15 years, we are continually being pushed with the word a conservative candidate. And then, of course, they get to D.C. or they get to our state capitals and they turn into a Manchurian candidate foreigner. They won't communicate with us. They don't, they haven't followed our wishes. Their legislation appears to be all based on their wallets, who their supporters are. Of course, I'm a strong contender. This country needs to get rid of lobbyists, but it'll probably never happen. I think a lot of things would change if we got rid of lobbyists. And my third thing I wanted to say is I was at a state education conference a couple of summers ago, and we were talking about all this, and the conversation had flown. It was a room full of Republican people, and there were a lot of them that were Tea Partiers, and a lot of them were Tea Partiers who had taken positions on the Republican executive committees in the hopes that they could transform them. I had made the statement, a statement regarding I thought their ideas were good, but that I didn't think it would work, and I had really upset this one young mother. She was probably in her 30s. So when we had the break, I went over to her and I said, I'm sorry I didn't mean to upset you, but I have a couple of questions. I said, being on the executive committee, are you still not required to swear an oath to follow the agenda and the policies of the Republican Party? And she said, yes. I said, does that still also mean that you are to support, no matter who your state party is pushing for office? And she said, yes. I said, even if you know they're a crook?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the bottom line. You are.
That's exactly right.
And
you know, I said many times over the years, and I used to get in a lot of trouble for saying this about 6 or 7 years ago, got thrown off of a lot of Tea Party shows for saying this back then. But today people are understanding what I meant and they're seeing it for themselves, and you're sitting here describing it now. The problem with the Tea Party is it was hijacked very rapidly early on at the national level. The money and resources were sucked out of it by a couple national organizations that were directly attached to the RNC. And the smaller local independent Tea Parties were largely impotent unless they were working with the larger ones. And the larger ones were only going to work with people that were going to work with them because they now had a seat at the table of corruption and no longer wanted to kick the table over.
Right.
Now, that's not meant to insult people who got up off the couch 7 years ago and tried to get engaged correctly in self-governance. That's what should have happened. But it took people no time at all to hijack that effort. And so today, the Tea Party, best we can tell, is about half the size it was a couple years ago. And what remains is largely people associated with the two big national groups, although they're waning some now too, because people have figured out they've taken in hundreds of millions of dollars and done nothing productive with it all. And there are a lot of, Tennessee, I have to say, has consistently had one of the best Tea Party networks anywhere in the country. I'm now seeing that's true in Michigan too, where the people are aware of everything I'm saying, and they have cast off all of the garbage that has been associated with the Tea Parties over the last 3 or 4 or 5 years now. And they are just networking at the local level to make change that they can affect at the local and regional level or state level. And that's really what they should be doing. And at the same time, they should be working together with one another on specific items. You know, not everybody that is with CAC is part of our organizations, and they don't have to be. And not everybody that's working on impeachment donates to us, and they don't have to. We reach outside of our own ranks when it is something of national interest to all of us. And we ask everybody, whether they're with us organizationally or not, to participate in those particular things, because it's in everybody's best interest to do that. And when we are asked to join with other people, the organizations, on things that are of critical interest to all of us, we absolutely encourage our members to do that as well. This idea, this My Little Fiefdom thing that kind of went on for a while inside the Tea Parties, it was keeping them competing instead of working together, has not been productive. And that stuff needs to go by the wayside. People need to work together, you know, when it counts.
Colonel Harding, we opened up your mic. Do you have anything you'd like to add to this conversation?
I sure do. J.B. mentioned earlier about oath of office, and that thing has bothered me more than anything else, because we have several organizations out there who are part of our government who have taken the oath of office, including all of the retired veterans that are out here, took an oath of office to defend the Constitution of the United States of America against all enemies, foreign and domestic. By the way, our congressmen take that same oath, as do everybody that works in government. And what's bothering me right now is there's another organization called Combat Veterans for Congress. They're all combat veterans, and they've all taken the same oath, and yet I can't get a single one of them to support the impeachment efforts. Now, I don't understand whether it's they have a problem with trying to get elected, or whether they have a problem with they lose some of the money, or they're going to lose some of the power. But I say shame on you. I say shame on every minister. Shame on every member of the government that you don't support impeachment when you know it's the right thing and the constitutionally correct thing to do. And as was said earlier, it's God's will. When someone is sinning against our country, is destroying the freedom of our country, then they should be removed from office.
Absolutely.
Can't say it any plainer than that, Colonel. Can't say it any plainer than that. You know, James, I think it was, came on the line earlier and said, as the church goes, so goes the nation. He's absolutely right. You just got done saying the same thing in a different way. When a nation loses its moral foundations, it's going to lose everything else, because the blessings that have existed in the United States for over 200 years existed only because of the moral foundations this country was built upon. Those blessings are directly attached to and associated with the moral fiber of the nation. That's not politicians, that's the people. And when the people no longer, which is what you're describing, Colonel, when the people no longer have the moral foundations and the moral fiber and the moral fortitude to hold criminals accountable for sinning against this nation at the highest levels and violation of their oaths, then this country is in collapse. It's in collapse. It's one thing to have bad politicians. Those bad politicians have existed as long as politicians have existed. But when the public becomes as immoral and as corrupt as its politicians, there is no hope in that country.
Right. We have a few more minutes. We have one more caller, and the last four numbers are 8736.
Hey, Karen, it's Gary Stroud. How are you?
How are you?
Gary Stroud. How are you, brother?
Yes.
Hey, Gary.
How are you, Colonel Harding?
Great.
Well,
I've been listening tonight,
and, you know, I've had a rare occasion to be able to get on the radio show and in meetings in the past. It's my health is an issue, so I've been able to get on when I can, and I've listened tonight, and, you know, some of the things that I've been thinking about and what I've been discussing over the last few years is the fact that Egypt basically had to do it the way they did it, basically, you know, ousted Morsi, because they realized what they were in for, and that was the only way they could do it, is to physically remove them from office. And I'm afraid that that's the case here, too. You know, we've got a bunch of people sitting around in this nation that they're more worried about what the next voice, you know, or the next American Idol is going to be, or the next football game, or everything else, because they're comfortable sitting in their own chairs.
Well, honestly,
they're not,
Gary, I know,
they're
we're
not comfortable. They're not comfortable getting out and doing what they need to do, which is march on D.C. en masse and basically remove him from office.
We're short on time, so I don't mean to interrupt you, Gary. I really don't, but I'm going to just because I want to comment on what you're saying. The Egypt scenario is a really interesting example, in my opinion.
Yeah.
The first overthrow of the Mubarak government was not organic by the Egyptian people at all. That was run out of Obama's State Department.
Sure.
Against their trying to get rid of secular leaders in those countries. Against the will of the people of Egypt. But once
that happened
and Obama installed Morsi, who was his Muslim Brotherhood brother.
Okay.
Once that happened, it was on the heels of a brand new constitution in Egypt. And the ink wasn't even dry on that yet. And so it was very fresh in the memory of the Egyptian people, whereas here in the United States, it's 240 years old. People barely even recognize what the document is in this. But I'm ashamed to tell you, most of the people who call themselves constitutionalists have never stopped to read the document in this country. And so, but it was very fresh. And so when Morsi was installed by the Obama regime here, the people reacted terribly to that, and they put the military of Egypt in the position of having to choose whether they were going to stand with Morsi or stand with the people. And the military in Egypt made the right choice. The military in the United States will make the right choice, too, but not until they see the people move.
Well, part of the problem is you got individuals that are sitting in Congress right now that fear the administration and the One World Order more than they feel the fear the people, because they know the people, the American people, are not going to do anything. They know that the American people are not going to rise up and do exactly what Egypt did.
You just said a mouthful already. I said this. I was at a couple of speeches in Michigan. I looked at the people in the crowd and I said, how many here believe nobody in Congress cares what you think? And they all raised their hands. I said, how many people in the room know I don't care what you think either?
Yep.
And they looked at me funny. I said, because I know the same thing the members of Congress know. No matter what you think, there's nothing you're going to do. And that makes what you think irrelevant. Go ahead.
Well, I'll tell you what. You know, I guess the day they wake up is the day they have a Muslim standing at their door killing their children because they're to conform to Sharia law and or conform to Islam, you know, and or the One World Order and or communism. I have family members that have lived under communism, and trust me, it's, you know, that regime and that doctrine has killed more people in history than any other type of political platform. So, you know, if they think it's bad now and they look at what's going on now, you just wait and see what happens in about 10 years when they're killing
us. I don't even think it'll be ten years.
Before we run out of time.
Yes, and we're about 30 seconds.
Gary, thanks for calling, and thanks for your service then and now. Colonel Harding, I'm going to let you wrap up real quick. Thank you.
Well, I just wrap up with a quick prayer. God, please help us in our nation as we try to overcome the evil that has invaded our great nation. Be with us as we try to bring this message to other people and help the people who are listening tonight to send it to other folks all over the country. We will succeed if we remember that the nation that stands with God will have God standing with them. Amen.
Amen.
Amen,
Thank
Colonel.
You,
Thank you.
Good
Thank
night.
You, Colonel Harding.
And stay tuned for the next show on our new station. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.